And so with that, I want to get into our message for tonight. And for our message, again, I don't want to just spend time looking at details and dates of what we're doing, but ultimately help you to look forward and, in a sense, give you a biblical foundation of what we're seeking to do here as a youth ministry here at Lighthouse. And so to do that, we need to turn to God's word, because though we clearly have many leaders, many hands involved in the ministry, youth ministry, along with every other ministry here at Lighthouse, is ultimately God's ministry. And therefore, we need his instruction and guidance for all that we do. And so with that, if you have a Bible with you, turn with me to Colossians, the book of Colossians in the New Testament. And specifically, we're going to be looking at chapter 1, verses 28 to 29. It's kind of the theme and overview of what we're seeking to do here as a youth ministry. The title of our message, our brief message for tonight, is "This is Youth Ministry." This is youth ministry. And what we're about to read in these two verses by Paul is not only a picture of what his ministry to the Colossians looked like, but we're also going to see a picture of what our ministry looks like to the youth as well, too. And so with that, I want to begin by reading our two verses for tonight. Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 to 29. This is a beautiful picture that we see of ministry. Beginning in verse 28, Paul, he writes this. He says, "Him," being Jesus Christ, "him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." Verse 29, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." Let's begin in a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful for this opportunity to be able to come before your word. Father, your word is sweeter than honey. It is greater and far surpassing than any treasure we can have, because in it we find not only light and guidance, but we also find life, because it tells us about Jesus Christ, our Savior, who we want to know more. And so in our time tonight, help us to see Christ. Help us to see all that we do here as a youth ministry. We thank you, Father. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We know that some of the best and most memorable brands have also good taglines. Nike says, "Just do it." McDonald's says, "I'm loving it." Disneyland says, "It's the happiest place on earth." And these taglines are meant to represent what they as brands are about, right? These brands might reach out into many different areas and avenues of business and things that they involve themselves in. But at the end of the day, this is what they come back to. This is what they are reminded of. When the temptation comes to get lost in the details and the minutia of everything, this tagline is meant to give them direction and clarity and guidance for all that is to come. When the temptation comes in those ways, they are reminded, what is their goal? What are they trying to live out and accomplish? And so in our time tonight, I want to make clear what it is that we as a youth ministry are seeking to do. What it is that we as a youth ministry are trying to accomplish week in and week out. You know, in the midst of all good ideas, and in our world today, there's many good ideas. How do we reach the youth? How do we reach the next generation? How do we do all of these things so that our youth have a good foundation? In all of these things, I want to make clear what we as a youth ministry are about, what we as a youth ministry are trying to do. Though not as succinct and maybe memorable as some of these other slogans, this is our philosophy of youth ministry. If you were here this past Sunday, I shared this, but I want to read it again as a reminder for us. This, in a sense, is our tagline, how we view youth ministry, which is that the youth ministry at Lighthouse exists to assist and come alongside parents to mature our youth, to be lifelong disciples of Jesus, and to equip them for a life of obedience and worship to him. Again, if you were here this past Sunday, I shared this, so I won't belabor the point. But in summary, the Bible teaches that the parents bear the main responsibilities. You, as parents, get the wonderful opportunity to invest in the lives of your children, to help them to know and love God. And yet, in support of that, we as the church, specifically the youth ministry here at Lighthouse, want to assist and come alongside you in this pursuit. And there's often a phrase used when it comes to raising youth, which is that it takes a village, right? Meaning that it's not just one person who does the raising up and investing in the next generation. Likewise, we here at Lighthouse and here as a youth ministry are committed to providing a ministry that is committed to investing in the next generation. We are committed to linking arms side by side with you as parents in order to invest in this next generation, in order to invest in the youth here. And to our parents, we are for you. We are for you. I hope that the picture of the 49 plus people who are involved here in this ministry is an encouragement to you that you are not alone. You are not alone. We want to assist and come alongside you in the amazing God-given responsibility that He has entrusted to you to invest into your children. And to our youth here, can I point out what an incredible blessing it is to have so many people who want to invest in you. The reason why your parents brought you here, the reason why we as leaders have showed up and prepared for this night and the many months to come, is ultimately because we want you to know the God who created you. We want to invest in you, and we want you to know that we love you, and we love you enough to do all of this. So for that reason, within our philosophy of youth ministry, you'll notice that we are committed to two tasks that we are committed to, which can be summarized in two words: maturation and equipping. Maturation and equipping. Now, for our youth, to put it simply, we as a youth ministry, at the end of your time here, involved here at Lighthouse, we want you to be mature believers who follow Jesus Christ. We want to see you grow up into all that God has called you to be. Now, it's no surprise that you are in a stage of life that's especially marked by growth, right? You're getting taller, you're growing, you're learning things. It's no surprise that you're growing and maturing in this stage of life. And yet we are excited for you in that. And yet know that we as a youth ministry, we count it a great joy to walk with you alongside that, to see you grow up and mature into young men and young women. And with that, we want to see you grow into what it means to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And we don't want to just teach you good morals or good tips and tricks on how to navigate life. No, we want you to know Jesus Christ, just like what we sang earlier. We want you to know Him. And for our new sixth graders, especially these upcoming years of middle school and high school, will undoubtedly bring many blessings. Now, you have such an exciting future ahead of you in the years to come, but also with that will come many challenges as well, too. And something that we hope that you'll see is how the truths that you learn about God here on Sundays and here on Fridays is relevant to your everyday life. And what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus, not only when life is great and things are going well? And what do these Bible stories mean, not just in the great moments of life, but also when life is hard? What about when life seems like nothing is going right? As I heard one pastor say, maturity is not tested until you don't get what you want. And in the lives that you will face in the upcoming years, you're gonna get a lot of that. Facing the challenges and difficulties of this life is part of maturing and growing up. And we as a youth ministry want to show you, what does it look like to follow Jesus even in the midst of those moments? What does it mean to say that God is good even when your circumstances don't look good? We as a youth ministry want to help you and mature you to be lifelong disciples of Jesus, followers of Him. And we strive to live this out in many ways. But one of those main ways that you as our youth can expect is through the preaching of God's word. In Colossians chapter 1, what does Paul say? He says that three-word phrase, Him, Jesus, Him we proclaim. Him we proclaim. First and foremost, our youth ministry is a ministry of proclamation, meaning that week in and week out, you as our youth can expect us to announce and to declare the wonderful truth of good news, of the good news of Christianity, the wonderful truth of who Jesus Christ is. I pray that you know him in a more personal and fuller way as a result of our time here every Friday, how the good news of Christianity and the gospel affects your life. So for this reason, we as a youth ministry are committed to expository preaching. That's a big phrase, but what it essentially means is that we seek to proclaim the truths of God's word, because it is in God's word where we learn about Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul commands Timothy, he says, preach the word, God's word, and be ready in season and out. In other words, there's never a bad season to preach and learn from God's word. We will spend a substantial amount of time in this upcoming school year preaching sermons. Many of you in youth are already familiar with this. To give you a sneak peek, our junior high ministry will begin by preaching verse by verse through the Gospel of John to start off the year, a sermon series that will give you a clear picture of who Jesus Christ is. For our high school ministry, we're going to begin first with a three-part sermon series in Psalm 23, the psalm that we've been memorizing and reciting together as a ministry within this past year. And then after that, we're going to spend the rest of the school year walking through the letter of 1 John. 1 John, which helps answer the question, what does it really mean to be a Christian? And maybe you've asked that before as a high schooler or a youth. How can we know that we are truly saved? What does this mean? In addition to our preaching for both ministries, you can look forward to many more opportunities to hear from God's word. We'll have Bible studies. We'll have a crash course for sixth graders, a Q&A with our staff and servants, and more opportunities that we as a ministry will take in order to present you the truth of God and his word. Why? Because we want to see you mature as followers of Jesus Christ. That's our first task, maturation. But we not only want to see you grow up and be mature in Christ, but secondly, we also want to equip you for a life of obedience and worship to him. And what we are seeking to do as youth ministry is not only teaching you so that you have more good information, but we also want to equip you to live out your faith. We want to give you and provide you with the tools and resources to learn how to apply your faith to everyday life. Again, what does it look like to follow Jesus, not only when life is great, but also hard? In Ephesians chapter 4, which we looked at as a high school ministry this past year, Paul reminded the Christians in Ephesus that Christian ministry is not a spectator sport. That to be a Christian and be part of the church doesn't mean just watching us as leaders do the work of ministry. No, you also get to play a part in it. You see, what's happening here on Friday nights isn't merely about what we as leaders are doing, but also what you as the youth are doing as well too, how you're involved, the opportunities to grow in your faith, the opportunities to encourage others. And we as your leaders want to equip you in this. We as your leaders want to help you know how to read the Bible, how to pray, how to share the gospel with your friends, and how to apply the truths of God's word to your life. For both ministries, both junior high and high school ministry, you'll be able to not only listen to God's word preach, but also talk about it with others in small group time, with your leaders. More on that later. The reality is youth ministry is really just a brief window of time. The middle school and high school years for you guys may feel like a long period of time. It feels like you've been in this season for a while, but realize that in a blink of an eye, before you know it, this time will be gone. And in that short period of time that you are in youth ministry, the reality is you won't know everything you need to know as you head off into the world. Now, we are, as a youth ministry, are going to try and do everything we can to invest in you, to put you before God and his word. But at the end of the day, life with Jesus continues on, continues in growth, continues in learning after your time here in youth ministry. Now, we don't expect you to be as mature as you should be. And yes, we will try to invest in you for the best, but we don't want to just help you here. We don't want to just help you in the here and now, but we want to give you tools and help equip you for a life of obedience and worship to him. That's kind of the end goal of what we're focusing on. This is what we are committed to for you, helping you to mature and to equip you for a life of following him. These are our tasks, maturing and equipping. But not only do I want you to see the tasks of our youth ministry, but I want you to see the priorities of our youth ministry. If these are our tasks of youth ministry, maturation and equipping, then these are the priorities we uphold to help get us there. Does that make sense? For our youth, when you come here on Fridays, there's a lot that's going on, right? There's a lot that's happening. But what I hope is that in all that we do, these three priorities are made evident to you to help you understand why do we do what we do here on Fridays. These are the big three of youth ministry when it comes to what we are concerned about: the centrality of the gospel of Christ, the centrality of the word of God, the centrality of loving community and discipleship. These, in a sense, are different hubs in which everything you see here on Friday comes out of that. And so first, the centrality of the gospel of Christ. We want the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the good news of Christianity, to be foremost and evident in all that we do and we teach here as a youth ministry. Because simply put, the gospel is the good news. And why is it the good news? Well, I want to share that with you here today, maybe if you've never heard it before, or if this is still new to you. You see, the good news of Christianity starts with the bad news. And the bad news is that you and I sin. Now, for our youth, understand that God has laid out for all of us a way to live, and by our words and deeds and desires, we have told him no. For our high school ministry, you remember in this past year, we were in the book of Ephesians, right? And what does Paul say in Ephesians chapter 2? He says about us that we were dead in our sins and trespasses. Instead of worshiping and loving him, we chose to worship and love other things. And as a result of our sin and rebellion against God, we're dead in sin. Dead in sin and therefore spiritually incapable of reaching out to God. When Paul told the Ephesians that apart from Christ, they are dead in their sins, he wants them to understand how hopeless they are, And all of us dead in sin apart from Christ are spiritually hopeless, incapable of doing anything to save ourselves. Again, when we come here on Fridays, we're not just teaching you how to be a better person, how to clean yourself up so that you may be accepted by God. No, because the Bible says that we are all dead in our sins, dead now and on the path towards the second death when we will finally and eternally be separated from God. And that's the bad news. That's the bad news and the reality for us. And yet this is the hard reality. Apart from Christ, we are dead in sin. And yet what did God do about it? He rescued us. Though the reality is that apart from Christ, we are dead in sin, God in Christ came and lived the perfect life we could not. And he took upon himself the wrath of God that you and I deserve, so that all those who turn from their sin and put their trust and faith in him can be saved. Not because we tried our spiritual best, not because of our good intentions, not because of our works, our church attendance, our youth ministry attendance, but by grace, by God's grace. Grace is an undeserved gift. When someone gives you a birthday gift, it's not because you earned it, right? If anything, the gift is going to your mothers because they're the ones that have done all the work. We don't get birthday gifts because we earned it, but out of the love and generosity of those who give the gift. For the Christian, the overarching declaration of our lives is that we are saved by grace. For the Christian, we say that we have received that which we did not deserve. God did not wait for us to get our act together to save us. God did not wait until we were more worthy of his love in order to save us. No, God did not save us when we were at our best, but when we were at our worst. and therefore in that God's love is magnified. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 5? It was while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is the gospel message that we proclaim and is central to our ministry here as youth. As one pastor said, God's love is like the ocean. You can see its beginning, but not its end. And oh, how great and unsearchable is the love of God towards unworthy sinners like you and I. This is the great gospel story that we will proclaim week in and week out here at Youth Ministry. And this is the gospel story that we must come back to and never forget. Therefore, the gospel is central. Secondly, I want to highlight not only the centrality of the gospel, but also the centrality of the word of God. Again, I mentioned this in the previous points, but God's word is central and foundational to everything we do here at Lighthouse. In the same way that you can't build a house without laying a foundation at first, so too do we need God's word, God's truth, to be the foundation of all that we strive to do. We as a ministry strive to do everything that we do, all because God's word calls us to do it. God's word is our directive and our authority over this ministry. We believe God's word in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, when Paul says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." In other words, God's word, the Bible, is sufficient. God's word, the Bible, is sufficient for all that you need in this life, and we intend to give that to you. It is more than enough to teach us all that we need to live out our mission statement as a youth ministry. If we want to know how to mature and equip you for a lifetime of following Jesus, our answers are found here in his word. Paul also said in 1 Timothy 3:15 that God's church is also meant to be a pillar and support of the truth. We as a church, we as a youth ministry want to uphold this. We want to give you the truth of God's word. And so for that reason, God's word is central to what we do. Third and finally, I want to highlight the centrality of a loving community and discipleship. And this, I think, is where we see one of the greatest blessings of our youth ministry here. This is where we get to see all of these other tasks and priorities lived out in the lives of those around you. What we are striving to do as a youth ministry is not only teach good truths, but also provide a community for these truths to be talked about and lived out and discussed and wrestled with those who love them. To our youth here, let me remind you that we do all of these things, again, because we love you. We love you and we care about you. We are thankful that you take the opportunity week in and week out to be here on Fridays. We never take that for granted. We are so thankful for the opportunity to invest in you. And can I remind you, we do this all because we care for you. Again, why do we have so many leaders? Why do we have so many programs, so many events, so many different things happening? It's because we want you to know Christ. We want to be the brothers and sisters in Christ who walk alongside you, not only in the great moments of life, but also in the low. We want to remind you that in the valley of the shadow of death, not only do you have God walking alongside you, but you also have us as your leaders, as your staff, who love you and want to invest in you. As Pastor Kim once said, he said, "We need people who will place us before Christ and say, 'Look to him.'" We all need that. We all need people in our lives who will come alongside us and say, "Look to Jesus in your sin and suffering. Look to the Savior. Look to the one who is in control of it all. Look to the great shepherd." And can I encourage you to think through, how can you do this for other people around you? Again, don't think of youth ministry here on Fridays as just us doing the ministry for you. No, think of it as an opportunity for you to also live this out. Think of it as an opportunity for you to show the centrality of a loving community to those around you, to the new person, to the person who has been here for a while but maybe has a hard time connecting. What would it look like for you to live this out with those around you? What would it look like for you to invest in those brothers and sisters alongside you? I want to share this story that I shared before with our youth that I think gives us a better and beautiful picture of what this could look like for our youth ministry. When a building is on fire, civilians run out of the building, but firefighters run into the building. I remember a testimony of one of my friends of how he shared how God used a moment of darkness and a faithful friend to bring about his salvation. My friend shared a story about how growing up, he knew about Christianity. Maybe he grew up in the youth ministry as well too and knew these truths about God, maybe even considered himself a Christian, but he never quite lived it out. And it never quite became real to him. When he got into high school, the separation between his beliefs and Christianity and his actions grew further and further apart. Because of the actions of certain sins that he committed, he actually ended up having his friends desert him. His friends actually ended up leaving him. The friends that he once thought were close to him and would support him quickly abandoned him. Now, he was a senior in high school at this time, and with a multitude of friends that he thought he had made over the course of his time, they were just gone in a moment. In that moment, the building of his life felt like it was on fire. His life that was once full of joy and success, thinking that it was all found in the things of this world, pursuing those things, was now up in flames with no one beside him. And yet it was in this moment of time when a friend who had previously tried to share the gospel with him came into his life. And the way that my friend described it, he said, in the moment where he felt like everyone was running out of the burning building, this faithful friend ran in. And it was this faithful friend who shared the gospel to my friend at a moment where he needed it most. My friend received the gift of salvation in Christ and was saved. I share this story because I think this is an example of how powerfully God can use this youth ministry, how powerfully God can use you as part of this youth ministry, what it looks like to not just share the love of Christ, but also show the love of Christ. What it looks like to truly care for someone, to work hard at loving them and spend time encouraging them. This is God's beautiful design for our church as a whole. And yet I pray that we see this lived out in the life of our youth ministry, week in and week out as we spend time together. You see, the thing about life is that at one point or another, all of the buildings of our life will be on fire. I love how our church, Lighthouse, defines suffering, which is that suffering is simply the things in life that hurt. What have been things in your life that hurt? What are things in your life that hurt right now? Each of us here in this room have things in our life that hurt. And the church is meant to be a family of people who love when life hits the hardest. Now, loving your church doesn't mean loving it when everything is perfect, but loving even at its ugliest and hardest moments to love. I remember being on a tour for my college. I went to Biola, and the tour guide said that this school is the best place to have your best days and also your worst days. I hope the same can be said about our church and youth ministry as well, too. That youth ministry is the best place to have your best days, to enjoy and to celebrate all the good things that God is doing in your life. But it's also the best place to have your worst days. The worst days when you don't want to show up. The worst days when you don't feel like being involved and participating. I pray that this youth ministry is one that can be both a place of celebration and both also a place of walking alongside you guys. As mentioned before, I've been in youth ministry for exactly 1 year now. And in that time I've spent in this ministry, one of the many things is that I've learned is that there is a lot that goes on in this ministry, right? We have over 30 Friday night gatherings, 8 annual events, including 2 separate retreats for junior high and high school. There's so many good things that happen in this ministry week in and week out. And yet the temptation amongst all the good things that we are doing is to forget the reason we do everything. And why do we labor? Why do we do all of these things? But to end, I remind you of Paul's words. Paul's words that have been an encouragement to myself and the staff as we consider what is our great task towards you as a youth ministry. Verse 29 of Colossians 1, Paul says, "For this I toil. For this I toil." Youth, know here today, this is the reason we toil. This is the reason we do everything. It's so that you may know Christ, so you may be mature in him. Now, to be clear, youth ministry is so much fun. I've honestly never had so much fun serving in a ministry and being part of the youth ministry here at Lighthouse. The games, the conversations, the events, all of it has been truly such a joy. And I'm sure that you as the youth can relate. And this is great. These are good things that we want. We want it to be fun. We want youth ministry to be something that you enjoy coming to. But at the same time, if there's one thing that we as a youth ministry and I as your youth pastor want for you, it's that you know Jesus Christ, that you know him not just as Lord, but Savior and Comforter in your life. I want you to know Jesus Christ in more personal ways in this upcoming year. This is the reason we toil. Parents, this is the reason why we invest year in and year out. Youth staff, this is the reason why we show up every Friday night and invest in the lives of our youth. To our youth, this is the reason why we come here on Fridays, to proclaim Christ, to proclaim Christ, to labor for your sake so that you may be mature, so that on the last day we see you and rejoice with you in your salvation. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word that gives us light and life. Again, it gives us direction on how we are to view this upcoming year of youth ministry, all of the exciting things that it entails. But Father, more than that, your word gives us evidence and it gives us direction and light on what really matters. Knowing Jesus Christ, knowing him and getting the privilege of proclaiming him to this next generation. So Father, in our pursuits and all that we strive to do, this is really just 1 week of many more weeks and many more years of faithful ministry. So we thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.